Here because you're here, shopping locally and listening locally on your radio, smartphone, computer, and tablet. Real Country, 1430 AM stereo, WRDN, Durand, Kellogg, Stockholm, and 107.3 FM. Translator, W297CH, Durand.
This is Real Country 1430 AM Stereo and 107.3 FM WRDN. I'm Brian Winnekins. Time now for the Christmas Eve service from Faith Lutheran Church in Durand.
Good evening. Welcome to worship on this Christmas Eve. Merry Christmas. Yes, it's good to be together. 150 of our friends worship together at Rock Creek at 4 o'clock, so you have a little more elbow room here. But it's good to be together, and I'm glad that we can offer a couple of services on this special evening. Our radio sponsor is Don and Jane Raymond sponsoring, and thanks for many blessings. So we give thanks for their sponsorship. And I know there were some people asking, is this service going to be on the radio tonight? And so thankful that we're able to do that. We will begin our worship service with the lighting of the Advent wreath. Mia and Kendra are going to help us out with that. We light one candle for hope. We light one candle for peace. We light one candle for joy. We light one candle for love. And now at last, on Christmas Eve, we light our Christ candle. Please join me by reading the words on the screen that are in white. The candle is the center of our celebration, just as Christ has a place at the very center of our lives. Jesus Christ is the anchor of our hope, the bringer of true peace, the source of all joy. Between family members, neighbors, friends, and former enemies, on this day and all days, we celebrate the gift of God coming into the world as one of us, to learn and grow and suffer as one of us. In the same way, even as he lived as a full human being, Jesus was the Christ, God's anointed, who had the fullness of God within himself, the power to bring life out of death. We celebrate Christ's birth. We give thanks for Christ's life and resurrection. We rejoice in Christ's presence in the world today. We anticipate the promise of Christ's future, when all will be made new. Let us pray. God of all glory, this day and all days belong to you. You alone are worthy of our full praise, devotion, and thanksgiving. We who have so much dare to ask for one more thing. We humbly ask that you fill our hearts with Christmas grace, the power to restore, to welcome, to celebrate, and to see Christ's power brought forth in this world. Pour this Christmas grace into our hearts and give it substance in our thoughts, our words, and our deeds. In Christ's own name we pray. Amen. I invite you to stand as you're able in body or spirit for our entrance hymn, O Come All Ye Faithful. The words for our hymns are on the screen, but if you prefer to sing from your hymnal, it's in the green hymnal, number 45. Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Gracious God, on this holy night in which the good tidings of angels, shepherds, and magi fill our hearts, we give you thanks for the Christ child who was born to save us and through whom peace, hope, love, and joy are born in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated as we hear some special music.
Thank you.
I'd like to invite the children forward for a children's message. All ages are welcome. Come on up. It's good to see all of you. It's good to be together. I think it's always exciting when we can worship after the sun has gone down in the dark sanctuary. And I don't know about you, but as a kid, Christmas Eve worship was my favorite, and I loved the lighting of the candles that we get to do later. My family used to go to worship at 11 o'clock at night, so we would be lighting the candles just about midnight as it was just about Christmas Day. And often I would fall asleep during the worship service because I was so tired, but I would always tell my parents, make sure you wake me up before it's time to light the candles, because I love that, and I still love this. This is still my favorite service. So I am glad that you are all here to celebrate Christ's birth with me. And to spend part of your Christmas doing that. So if you were out at a store or at school recently, what is something that maybe people said to you because of the season that it is? What was that? Merry Christmas, right? Merry Christmas. So I was thinking we should really be saying Merry Christmas to each other here. So I came up with some letters. I'm going to give one to each of you. Hopefully there's enough. And I'm going to have you help me spell Merry Christmas. We're going to put them on the communion rail and make sure that people know what it is that we're celebrating as we're here, okay? So look at your letter when you get it and see if you have, what's the first letter we need?
Yes.
A letter M, okay? So here, you get two letters, okay? All right, so let's bring the M up here. We're going to kind of tape them right on here. What would come next? What letter will we need next? An E, okay, bring an E up. I know there's a few E's. So what letter would come next in Merry Christmas? An R. Who has an R? Thanks for the E. No one has an R. Did I forget it at Rock Creek? You have an O. Merry Christmas. An O. What other letters do you have?
He has an L.
Oh my goodness. Do you think? Could this man? One. Hold on. Do you think this could be a W?
Oh, yes.
Is there a W in Merry Christmas?
Yes.
There is.
No. Yeah.
Merry Christmas. Okay. Well, what if we have W-E? What is another way to say Merry Christmas? Someone has an L? Come on up. Let's bring it here. Okay. W-E-L. Does anyone have a C? Oh, you have a C. Come on up. Okay. I'm starting to see another word come together here. Oh. That sounded like you realized something. Great. Okay. What do we have here? Well... Oh, welcome. Okay, so do we have an M somewhere? You think yours is a W? Okay. Welcome. Okay, and then what else do we need? An E. Okay. So that's one word, welcome, but what do we have left for letters?
M or W.
And an H and another E. What can we spell with those? Not Merry, not Christmas. What do you think? Maria? The word home. Let's bring up the H. Come on up. All right. And then what comes next in the word home? Another O, right? Okay. I'm so glad I'm realizing now I didn't actually get these letters wrong. You know what I did do, though? I lost track of the little line on my masking tape. Can't figure it out. There it is. You know how that happens? You tear it off and you can't find it. Okay. Okay, thank you. You got an O and then an M. And another E. So when we're out at stores, at school, we hear a lot of Merry Christmas, right? Which is a good greeting, but when we come here into this sanctuary, into this place where we gather in God's name to worship God and to remember what Christmas is all about, another way to say Merry Christmas to those who gather is to say to them, welcome home, right? We're going to hear in our scripture reading tonight from the Gospel of Luke the story of Jesus' parents, Mary and Joseph, traveling back to a place called Bethlehem, which was Joseph's hometown. It was where he was from. And they had a requirement. They had to go back there in order to be counted to see how many people belonged in Bethlehem. And so when they were there, that's when Jesus was born. And so they went home for that. But we're going to find out in our story if they felt very welcome when they went there. Because we all should, hopefully, feel welcome when we come to this place, right? This is God's house, and all are welcome here. And so I want you to think about that. It's Christmas. What, the E fell down? I'm going to fix that. It's Christmas, and yes, we want to say Merry Christmas to each other, but we also can look around at the people gathered here on this Christmas Eve and say to them, welcome home. God's been expecting you, right? So thank you for coming home for Christmas. It's good that we're here together, and we're going to keep worshiping together as we hear our centering song. So you can go back to your seats and keep track of your candles for later, okay? Are you going to use this one? Oh, yeah, don't forget your mic. I know. There's a lot of moving parts on this service. You to stand as you are able as we welcome the word. scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Luke, the second chapter. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place in the guest room. Now, in that same region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all people. To you in this is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem to see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in a manger. And when they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed with what the shepherds told them. And Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as it had been told to them. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. As we sit here together tonight, I wonder, just by a show of hands, how many of you are in your hometown right now? Okay. If you are home for the holidays, I imagine you probably know where you're going to sleep tonight, right? You know that there's a place to lay your head when all of the festivities are over. If you're not in your hometown, I wonder, how far have you traveled to be here? And this is an actual question. How many miles are you from your hometown, or hours for our Brazilian family that's visiting? How far are you from your hometown? A lot of hours, yeah. Others from other places, how far would you have to drive hour-wise or mile-wise to get to your hometown? Anyone else? Don't be shy, you know where you're from, right?
Hour and a half.
Hour and a half, okay. Anyone else? 10 hours for Maria, 4 hours back there, right? So we know what it is like to travel, and I wonder, if you were to return to your hometown, where would you stay when you arrived, right? Would it be easy for you to find family and friends to take you in? Do you know where you could trust that there would be a place to lay your head? The start of our scripture reading tonight makes me think that maybe this is where the phrase, "I'll be home for Christmas," first came from. Because we find Joseph and his nearly full-term pregnant fiancée, Mary, traveling home for what soon would become the first Christmas. Though when they arrived in Joseph's hometown of Bethlehem, they didn't find snow or mistletoe or presents on the tree like the song says. Instead, they found that no one seemed to be expecting them, despite the fact that everyone was ordered to return to their hometown. And house after house after house were all full, or so the expectant couple were told. Scripture says in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered, so all went to their own towns. And it's important to note, to understand, that Augustus may have said all the world, but he actually had no jurisdiction outside of the Roman Empire. And he was really only interested in counting the people who were property owners so that they could be taxed properly. So it was Roman Empire property owners who traveled home to register for taxation in the district where they owned land. But that doesn't have quite the same ring as all the world should be registered, right? So that didn't really make the cut for scripture. But it does paint for us a clearer picture of what was actually happening, the backdrop of that first Christmas. So when Joseph arrived in his hometown, a property owner looking to be registered and counted, apparently there was no family to greet him. No one was expecting him. No one was there to welcome him and his expectant fiance with open arms. There was no place for them in the guest room. And culturally, Joseph's family would have been pretty unaccepting of his pregnant bride-to-be. So it may be that the guest room wasn't actually full, otherwise occupied, so that there was no place for them to lay their heads, but rather that the guest room was no place for them. An unwed, expectant couple who were bucking the culturally accepted norms of the day. Joseph and Mary were commanded by law to return home to be counted, but they could not count on receiving a warm welcome. So as it came time for Mary to give birth, we find her sequestered in a room off of the main house, no accommodations like the guest room, but instead in a space normally inhabited by newborn animals and their nursing mothers. And there it was in that lowly setting that the Jesus, the Messiah, the Savior of the world was born. And then the next part of scripture finds us in the same region where there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And the shepherd's life was nothing glamorous, right? It was grueling, demanding work, long hours, lots of standing, warding off predators, in the full sun, little shade, long lonely nights. It was unlikely that the shepherds would have been included in the census count that Joseph was. There was really no need for them to be registered because they were likely tending flocks that belonged to others on property that belonged to others. Somehow, though, despite their lowly status in the world, even if the world did not deem them worthy of being counted, an angel of the Lord stood among them, a group of meager shepherds. The glory of the Lord shone around them, of all people, and the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth lying in a manger." This good news fell on the most unsuspecting crowd. Because not only were they shepherds with a rather unappealing job, but culturally, it's very likely that these shepherds were teenagers or younger, given that the night watch part of being a shepherd usually fell to the younger generation. So God chose to bring the good news of Jesus' birth first to a group of unregistered juveniles. Their established empire may not have valued them enough to be counted, but God's kingdom, the inbreaking of God's kingdom, counted on them to share the good news. And so hearing the angel's news, the shepherds looked at each other and they said, "Hey, let's go. Let's go to Bethlehem right now. See, this is a thing that's taken place." And I think this sounds like the reaction of an obedient, excited group of young people, throwing caution to the wind, leaving their helpless sheep to kind of fend for themselves, right? Not really caring about the time of day, how far they had to go. They just did as the angel said. They left with haste. Because never would they have imagined that the Messiah would come into the world as someone younger than them, as a newborn child. They had to see it for themselves because they were the ones who had received the good news of great joy. So they went with haste and they found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. The key word there is haste. I'm looking at the front row of girls. Did you take a little time to get ready for worship tonight? You didn't exactly leave, most of you. You didn't exactly leave with haste, right? You did a little bit of getting ready. Well, these shepherds did not, right? It says they left with haste. So Probably they didn't take time to wash up or change their clothes or comb their hair. In their haste to see the good news revealed for themselves, they probably showed up looking a little less than put together. And so can you imagine then if Mary and Joseph and Jesus had been comfortably tucked away in the accommodations of the guest room, and then these young, juvenile shepherds showed up, dirty and disheveled, a little bit odoriferous from their travels and their work, and totally indifferent about the hour of their arrival, would the master of the house have said, "Yeah, come on in, I'll show you what happened here"? No, the master of the house would have taken one look at them and said, "The guest room is no place for you." And they would have been turned away without ever having laid eyes on the Messiah. So it was necessary for the Savior of the world to be born in a lowly, accessible place so that those whom the angel sent to bear witness to Jesus' arrival would have access, full access to do just that. Otherwise, the world wouldn't have known, right? There's no other account of the angel showing up to the next group saying, "Hey, in case those shepherds don't make it or aren't welcome, do you need to go see this?" It was all on these young shepherds to spread the good news. And so once the shepherds saw who the angel said they would see, they shared all that the angel had told them, and people were amazed, and the shepherds returned to their flocks, and they couldn't keep quiet. They were glorifying and praising God for all that they had seen. And all that they had seen would not have been possible if Jesus had been tucked away in a guest room. Mary and Joseph went home for that very first Christmas. They welcomed Jesus into their arms and into the waiting world. And then the shepherds followed where the love light led them. And there they found Jesus, just as the angel said they would. And they got to get up close to the promised Messiah. So as we gather here together around this story of homecoming on Christmas Eve, I hope it reminds you that this sanctuary isn't a guest room where only the finest and the most well put together and the most faithful people are welcome, but it is more akin to the place where Jesus was born, a place where all are welcome to find respite and hope. And the table that Jesus has set here isn't reserved seating only. It's no reservation is required. There's always room for all. All are invited to gather and to see and to receive the Messiah up close, just like the shepherds did. So whatever brought you here tonight, whether it was tradition or appeasing a loved one or the promise of singing by candlelight, you are here now. Open your heart to really receive the good news as the shepherds did that first Christmas. The story of Jesus coming into the world is for you. This is where the love light led you tonight. Welcome home. Amen. We'll sing together our hymn of the day, "Angels We Have Heard on High." This song is in your green hymnal, number 71, and the words will also be on the screen.
Thank you.
as you're able for our prayers of intercession. Our prayers tonight will be sung with a song called Watch, O Lord. It's a really beautiful singing way to lift up our prayers to God. And so the way it works is this first kind of paragraph you see up there as we all sing together, it's the refrain. And then I have some different petitions I'll sing, and your response is the words on the bottom, In Your Love, O Lord. And so it flows pretty easily and pretty well. We're just working out the music part of it here for a moment. Watch, O Lord, with all those awake this night. Watch, O Lord, with all those who weep. Give your angels and saints charge over all who sleep. Tend your ailing ones in your love, Lord. Rest your weary ones. Bless your dying ones in your love, O Lord of all. Watch, O Lord, with all those awake this night. Watch, O Lord, with all those who weep. Give your angels and saints charge over all who sleep. Your suffering ones in your love, Lord. Heal afflicted ones in your love, Lord. Shield your joyous ones in your love, O Lord of all. Watch, O Lord, with all those awake this night. Watch, O Lord, with all those who weep. Give your angels and saints charge over all who sleep. Hold your grieving ones
in your love, Lord.
Raise your fallen ones
in your love, Lord.
Mend your broken ones in your love, O Lord of all. Watch, O Lord, with all those awake this night. Watch, O Lord, with all those who weep. Give your angels and saints charge over all who sleep. Guard your little guide your searching ones. Grant us all your peace in your love, O Lord of all.
Watch, O Lord, with all those awake this night. Watch, O Lord, with all those who weep. Give your angels and saints charge over all who sleep.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
I
invite you to share a sign of peace with those around you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you, sir. Not quite. After all. Continue with our offering, and as we collect our offering out of the abundance God has entrusted to our care, we'll hear a special offering song from Caitlin.
She told him he was more than just her baby. was filled with pain. Could she feel all the hunger and the shame? Or did she know about the way he would die and the reason why? Is that what made her baby cry?
Please stand as you're able for our offertory response. What feast of love is offered here? What banquet come from heaven? What food of everlasting life? What gracious gift is given? This is Christ the King, the bread come down from heaven. Oh, taste and see and sing how sweet the manna given. Let us pray. Gracious God, your word made flesh brings peace to the earth. As we offer ourselves and these gifts, prepare us to receive the bread, the grace and truth you offer at this table. Renew in our hearts the song of your salvation. In Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Truly, Jesus showed God's love to all. For while there was no room at the inn when he was born, he made sure that there is room for all at his table, even for the one who would betray him. For on the night before Jesus was handed over to die, he gathered around a table with his friends. He took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, after supper, Jesus took the cup and gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these your gifts of bread and wine, that the bread we break and the wine we drink may become the very body and blood of Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated as you prepare to receive communion. A couple notes about communion here. We'll receive it continuously, so you'll come forward for the bread, the cup, and you can put your empty cup in the bowl on either side as you return to your seats. The outer rim of the communion tray is grape juice if you prefer that instead of wine. And we do have gluten-free wafers if you need those instead of bread. The most important part of the invitation is that here at Faith Lutheran Church, all are welcome. We set the table, but Jesus is the host. And so all are welcome. It doesn't matter your denomination or your background. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Come. Thank you. This is the body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. Remember how much Jesus loves you. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ given for you. 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 This is the body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. Jesus loves you. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. Remember how much Jesus loves you. The body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ given for you. 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 This is the body of Christ given for you. 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 This is the body of Christ given for you. Yep, that's the wine. Yep. Body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. Body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you.